Welcome to episode 2 of the Stockyard Sessions podcast from Atlas Ag, the team behind Atlas Carbon and Meyer Grazing. I'm your host, Matt Peacock. This episode is called The Producers, and we're going to hear from three different producers who are all undergoing soil carbon projects and are at different stages of doing so. All the interviews you'll hear today were recorded at a recent Atlas Carbon field day at the 2,300 hectare property Coventry, which is run by Jared and Suze Doyle and is about 50 kilometres south of Tamworth. Shortly, we'll hear from Susie Ridley and Scott Michelle and his daughter Macy. But first, let's hear from Jared Doyle, and I asked him what it's like to open the farm gate for over 100 visitors.
Well, it's always daunting, isn't it, when people come to check out what you're doing. So there's definitely a degree of nervousness there because there's lots and lots of good producers in the country, and many of them were here today. So you feel like you have to try to match their standards. So hopefully we weren't too far off.
And interestingly, you know, the paddock walks were really good. There was a session earlier for Atlas Carbon. But when you just get a group of producers together who can then ask you questions, seems to be the most effective part of the day, really. People want to learn and want to discuss, don't they?
Yeah, I think that's you've hit the nail on the head there, Matt. I think that's often the case with any field day or seminar or whatever the event may be with producers, that the standing around having a yarn and asking questions and comparing notes is often a hugely valuable part of it.
We are in the middle of a paddock. There are rolling hills to our left, paddock stretching to the right, trees, sheep, cattle, birds. It's been a cold day, but the sun has sort of been peeking through the clouds, keeping us warm, which has been lovely. So it's been a beautiful day and beautiful countryside here. Tell me about the property.
So we're 2,300 hectares at about 5 to 750 metres of elevation, northwest slopes and plains, 40-50 k's south of Tamworth. So we're very lucky geographically. We have a bit of a temperature spread, which is a challenge in itself. So sort of minus sixes at some stages of the year and plus 45s at others. So that can be a challenge with managing different grass species. But overall, I think we're very lucky where we are.
Earlier on, when you welcomed everyone at the start of the field day this morning, you mentioned your parents and how they sort of set the motivation for you from what they did when they were in charge of the property. Just tell me a bit more about that.
Yeah, again, very lucky to have the background investment put into the property with my parents, Peter and Sally, and they were very progressive with their thoughts on soil health and nutrition of the soil, and did a lot of work with lime and balancing nutrients and various things that were quite progressive when they were first exploring them, and yeah, that has set a great foundation for us and also encouraged our interest in those same areas of soil health and plant health and soil nutrition and what we can do with the soil that we're lucky enough to have.
And how's the farm set up with you and Suze? How do you split it between you and the labour that you have here? I know your dad still helps out on the farm.
Yeah, very lucky to have Dad come out a couple of days a week, and I think Bart described it as cast his discerning eye over things. So you can't beat experience and knowledge, that's for sure. And yeah, we have another full-time labour unit and a couple of teenagers that chip in from time to time. And Suze, my wife, certainly helps out, but she's also involved in her family business, which is a farm machinery dealership or business. So she's plenty busy enough with that as well.
You mentioned Bart there. That's Bart Davidson. He's the Chief Grazing Officer from Atlas Carbon. I'm going to talk more about your soil carbon project in just a second. A question you got from one of the producers was around your motivation to look at a soil carbon project and to look at how you run your business here. And while you said obviously the environment was important, from your perspective, increased production is your number one ambition.
Yes, I think that's a fair summary of what I said, Matt. Increased production and increased resilience with plant health through soil health is the number one interest for us and the number one objective to achieve out of this. And I've seen it written in plenty of places that there's lots of reasons to try to increase your soil carbon levels, and a soil carbon project is only one of those reasons. Clearly, we would love to help the environment. That's definitely a motivator. But the actual mechanics of a soil carbon project and issuance of ACCUs and those sort of things is secondary to those objectives of increasing our production and resilience and hopefully helping the environment at the same time.
You set your soil carbon baseline 6 months ago, so you'll review again in 4.5 years. At that point, you'll know if you've generated any ACCUs. And again, a question from one of the producers here is what you intend to do with those ACCUs. And your answer was, you don't know.
Yes, at this point in time, I'm keeping an open mind. There seems to be a lot of different opinions out there at the moment as to the value of ACCUs, both monetarily and as a asset on your asset or liability on your balance sheet. So my intention is to firstly wait and see whether we actually are issued any ACCUs, because that's step one. And then after that, we'll just have to assess what the regulatory and marketing requirements are or environments are at that time in 4.5 years, and make some decisions there. It could be in setting, it could be selling, it could be a combination of the both. So we're in no hurry to make a decision about that.
The property looks fantastic at the moment, very green. I think you said this is the best you've seen it in June for many, many years. Interestingly, when you first started your soil carbon project in October of 2023, that was following a very dry spell, so it looked very different here, didn't it?
It was in the middle of a dry spell, yes. So it's actually quite alarming to look back at the photos that were included in our cost-benefit report, and I'm sure Bart and Rafe, the Atlas Carbon representatives who came out that day, were wondering whether we actually could grow any green grass. So water that falls from the sky helps a lot of things, and it certainly helps grass to grow. So I definitely like this version of farming better than how it was at that time.
What's your journey been since October 2023? Where are you on the sort of soil carbon front, and what's happened, and what have you experienced, and your feelings and thoughts on that?
Yeah, so it's been an interesting journey. It is a reasonable investment in time, for starters. And so I'm very thankful to the expertise and assistance that Atlas has provided through the process. It's a daunting task. There's quite a regulatory set of hoops to jump through. There's also a fair bit of work at the producer level to get information together and organised, but it's all gathering information that's only going to be helpful for your knowledge of your business and making plans for moving forward. So there's that planning and assessment and application type process, and then there's thought that goes into, okay, well, if we need infrastructure, what infrastructure, how, when, where, how much will it cost, talking to banks and finance advisors to get some plans on funding and how you'll be able to repay that funding, and then actually implementing. So we couldn't implement any change until the soil carbon project was actually approved, because activities have to be additional to what you would have been doing anyway. Yeah. So that process happened for us in October, roughly. So by the time we got Christmas done, et cetera, and lined things up, it's really only been this calendar year, being 2025, that we've really rolled into the implementation. So that's been an enjoyable experience. It's given us the motivation and the incentive to really fast track a lot of infrastructure that we would have liked to have built over a 20 or 30 year period. So it's always exciting spending money, isn't it? You just got to worry about how you pay it back.
Oh, I love the way you describe what you do here. It's your passion comes through, but it sounds like you need to be an astute businessman as well as an astute farmer. You need to have your ducks in a row.
Well, theoretically, but one could question the astuteness of various decisions you make as a farmer, and the only thing we can guarantee is that you'll make some good ones and some bad ones. So we just hope that on the balance of probabilities, we end up with more good ones than bad ones.
Fantastic. What comes next then? Obviously, you're implementing changes on farm now. What does the next 12 months look like for you in relation to the soil carbon project?
Yeah, so the next 12 months will be just continuing with the infrastructure build. We should get most of the way through it in 12 to 18 months. Mm-hmm. And then it's learning how to drive our new setup, really, learning how to incorporate heavier density grazers through either larger mobs or smaller paddocks or a combination of both, looking at our pasture base, looking at our recovery periods, and learning basically how things react and how we can make the most out of the new infrastructure that we've got. And that will be a long-term learning process, I think, because different seasons will throw up different challenges and provide more and different opportunities as well. So yeah, I just see it as an ongoing learning process.
As a bit of a leader in this field, what would be your message to other producers who might be thinking about a soil carbon project, or even your message to the industry, taking in everything you've learned and experienced? What would you say? What would be your advice?
Oh, I'm probably uncomfortable with the term leader, because I think there are plenty of others out there that are implementing these practices, whether they're in a soil carbon project or not. Yep. So my approach has been to try to observe and listen and read and absorb what other people are doing and apply that where I think it's appropriate to our farm. So I've been brave enough or silly enough, whichever way you want to look at it, to give it a go. And so I guess that would be my main message to anyone who's interested is make your own decisions, do your own research, see how it applies to your place individually and make an assessment from information that you trust, not necessarily information that you come across in a helter-skelter or unverified way.
Brilliant. We're at the Coventry Field Day. There are people wanting to talk to you, so this is the final question. I just need to mention the New South Wales government here, because you're part of the HIP program where you got some grants to start up your soil carbon project. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. And so we have certainly a lot to thank the New South Wales government for with the high impact grant program, and that was worked in conjunction with Atlas Carbon and Wilmot Cattle Company. So we were fortunate to be allocated one of those grants through our association with Atlas Carbon, and yeah, that's certainly been a help with some of the baseline tests, testing costs, and some of the early infrastructure costs. So yep, definitely a thank you to the New South Wales government for that funding, and we hope that it can lead to a bit of education and a bit of knowledge for some of the wider farming base.
And that's also why we're here today, in order to give back and to help other producers learn. You've opened up the farm gates, and it's been a fantastic day. I just want to thank you for inviting me along. I've learned a lot today. It's been good to have a look around the property. Please apologise to Suze, your wife, because we did this interview earlier and for whatever reason the audio didn't work, and now we don't have Suze available. So please tell her it's nothing personal.
I'll certainly pass that on, Matt. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Great to speak to you, and all the best for the future.
Thank you, and to you.
You're listening to episode 2 of the Stockyard Sessions podcast. Next, we hear from Susie Ridley. We discuss Susie's impressive CV, her farm, and her passionate views on climate change. But I started by asking Susie about her career.
Well, I came from a corporate background. I was originally a corporate lawyer and eventually found myself in property. I've always had a very strong purpose around improving the environment and addressing climate change, and I had the opportunity to do that, particularly in my last role as Chief Property Officer for Westpac.
And what did that involve? Sustainability strategies? What did that look
Absolutely.
Like?
Absolutely. We had accountability for the entire property footprint. So you're looking at the use of all utilities, electricity, water, etc. So really coming in fresh and saying, okay, well, why don't we have a renewable energy strategy and implement renewable energy? Why don't we look at how we use our water and reduce that and be more efficient, eliminate paper, etc., and look at how our carbon footprint can be offset.
So as well as a career for you then, it sounds like it was a sort of subject of passion for you as
absolute
well.
Absolute passion. Yeah, absolute passion. And I think it came from my father being such an avid gardener and animal lover. And I think I followed him into that. And I love being on the farm now and being able to implement some strategies there as well.
So just a bit of a bigger picture question. Are we getting it right in Australia? Is there still work to be done? We've had a federal election where environment and climate was sort of centre stage again. What's your views on that?
Wow, that's a big one. I really think that the government needs to do more over time and take a long-term view over food and water strategy and the impacts of climate change. I don't think enough is happening in that arena. I think we're pretty slow, and it's really up to private enterprise to drive change.
Were you on the farm during your corporate career as well? So you had the two running simultaneously?
Yeah, absolutely. So for the last 14 years, yeah, I had the two going at once. So I could see what was happening on the land. I could see the impacts of drought and, you know, longer and harder droughts, and really came to the view that we need to make some big changes. You can't keep doing what you're doing in the face of the change in climate and the environment.
So tell me all about the farm.
So we operate a beef grazing operation in Coonamble in northwest New South Wales. We are a chemical-free operation, grass-fed beef, and predominantly a breeding operation, although we do some trading. It's third generation in Scott's family.
So Scott is your husband?
He's my husband, and he's been on the property for 40-odd years.
Fantastic, fantastic. So would you describe yourself as a regen property or not?
Well, yes, and I think a part of that is the whole ethos around preserving the landscape and the environment, minimal to no clearing of trees. Obviously, when Scott's grandfather was there was some clearing, and really cultivating both natural and improved grasses, and really trying to avoid any use of chemicals so far as we can, and then look at how we improve the environment.
You must be really proud of the farm's journey and being able to look back at what the generations have done before and what you're doing now to sort of complete the picture.
For sure, and I'm a relative newcomer, and Scott's very experienced but very passionate about preserving the flora and fauna, and I think there's a long way to go though, particularly in terms of ensuring that the land is sustainable to keep producing in the face of particularly harder conditions.
And so what's the main area of focus for you then? Is it improved productivity? Is it land resilience? You know, what's centre of mind?
I think it's all of that. It's a holistic picture, isn't it? Because you can't have one without the other. So obviously productivity is an important play, but you don't get that without actually improving the soil, improving the pastures, really looking to improve that whole ecosystem. It's a bit of a virtuous cycle where then you get improved productivity with your livestock as well.
You mentioned Westpac, you were there for 11 years. Are you now full-time on the farm? What does your day-to-day
look like? I'm full-time on the farm. It's actually my corporate career was probably about 25 years. I'm full-time on the farm, and I made that choice to go last year. And I think it was Scott and I both believe it is... I suppose having both of us together working on the property means that we can divide and conquer. You know, there's enough manpower there now to look at the things we really want to look at to sustain the farm over the long term, such as, you know, investigating a soil carbon project and looking at other ways we can just preserve biodiversity and foster, the flora and fauna and become more productive as well.
You mentioned a soil carbon project there. I think you're in the very early stages of a soil carbon project. What's happened to date and where are you?
Well, it's been very exciting, and we're working with Atlas Carbon, and they're a fantastic crew to work with, because I think, like anything, you need to trust the people that you're working with, particularly as a soil carbon project is a 25-year project. And they have very, very sound methodologies in terms of their feasibility. So where we are at the moment is very, very early stages. We did the cost-benefit report, and we've just completed the initial feasibility, so the core testing of soil over the property, and have only just received the report this week. So we'll be going through that with Bart, the chief agronomist, at the end of the week.
And what are your goals and aspirations with the soil carbon project? Is it a diversified income stream, again improving biodiversity, flora, fauna, productivity, resilience, all those things?
Yeah. So I think all the practices that underpin a soil carbon project are practices that we're adopting. So the question for us then becomes, do we go into a regulated project where we have the opportunity to earn an additional income stream that will actually give us a bit of a hedge against drought too? So I think one of the factors there is, if we're doing it anyway, why wouldn't we do a soil carbon project? So it's important to have a look at that.
What's your view on the carbon market here in Australia? Do you think it's pretty robust? Is more work needed? You know, there's lots of divisive views in this.
Yeah, I think it's a really tricky area. And I think one of my core roles when I was the chief property officer at Westpac was buying carbon credits. And we were very, very thorough in our due diligence about the provenance of a carbon credit. And there's a lot of credits out there that, are questionable. And I think one of my observations during that time was really a soil carbon credit is quite a very sound and high quality credit. And so I think that's really where I got to in that.
And you mentioned obviously early stages of the project. Will you now then look at what management changes are needed on farm?
Is that part of the process? Absolutely. So I think Scott has been very interested in holistic grazing for a very long time, and so it's really clear that we have to change the way and some of our practices. And it's, as Bart has said, it's about the structure. So really look at setting up cell grazing, which is a bit of a higher management impost, but I think that's okay for us. We're up for it. Definitely, it's got to be a change in practice, and probably adopting some software that gives us the data to be able to do that as well.
Because that's all important, isn't it, the data? Yeah. You need the evidence. And the more projects that get underway, the more data we have and the more evidence there is.
Yeah, and I love data, and I think the MyGrazing tool will help us. And it's really good to be here today at this field day and just hear people talk about how it's actually informed their informed their practice, and they can see the changes over time.
So what's the next steps for you then, Susie?
Well, I think it's really complete this due diligence process with Atlas Carbon, make an assessment about whether we go forward or not, and that is very much about the return. And we'll have a better understanding of that at the end of this week. But then I think, you know, we just continue to adopt the practices that, whatever way we go, that underpin increased productivity, which is actually through fostering great soil health.
Yeah. Final question. What do you love about what you do in the farm and Australian agriculture? You can see it today, the real sense of community here at this field day. You know, what is it for you that's so important?
Oh, I think, you know, you're actually doing something really meaningful because you're growing food. And I think, you know, that's a pretty critical function in life. I think it's as simple as that. And I do love the farming community. It's amazing. It's really fantastic, collaborative community.
It's been a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you for your time and sharing your insights. Really fascinating. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
This is episode 2 of the Stockyard Sessions podcast from Atlas Ag, the team behind Atlas Carbon and Meyer Grazing. Finally, in this episode, we're going to hear from father and daughter, Scott and Macy Michelle. And I started by asking Scott all about his farm, Castletops.
Okay, Castletops, fourth going into the fifth generation family property. What are we, 120 odd years in? And like everyone, looking to do things better, move forwards and set it up for the next generation at the same time.
So you are currently undergoing a soil carbon project. We'll talk more on that shortly. Why do you feel it's important to learn from the generations before and drive the farm forward? I guess why not, right?
I guess every generation is trying to do better than the last.
Yep.
In the first place, but also we can see the drivers of productivity with modern ways of measurement and things like that. So yeah, we can actually see that there's a lot more positives in doing this than keep on doing what we were doing.
And just tell me about the farm, some of the specific size, breeds, etc.
Okay, look, we're all Angus, self-replacing breeding herd, normally grow out the progeny seasons permitting, and this, we're hoping we can do more of that by doing this and obviously not trying to fight Mother Nature sometimes, work with her better. So yeah, pretty simple grazing operation really, but we're obviously trying to do it way better.
Introduce me to Macy.
Okay, Macy, my eldest daughter. I don't know, getting ready to come back hopefully down the track onto the place, but working anyway at the moment there. I'm not sure how to explain what's going to work in the future. We're just hoping that, yeah, the next generation does want to be there and do it better.
So, Macy, you're working on the farm currently.
Yes.
What's that like? How do you feel?
It's very fun being on your family place that you grew up on. I think it's a very rewarding thing to do, seeing all your production go from, like, calf to cow, or the seed, seeing Dad's face light up when the seed's finally growing in the paddocks, improving our pasture. I think it's really rewarding and quite fun.
And do you feel connected to a community of other young people like you who are sort of thinking about the next generation?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think we've got there's lots of generational farms around us and the place where we live, and then also going to school in Armidale, I feel like I've always been surrounded by lots of people that want to end up on their family farm or end up in the ag industry.
Yeah.
So definitely surrounded by it.
And now, you mentioned to me before the interview that you're off to Canada for a while, and
yeah,
no decisions on what happens after that at this point?
No, I think I'm trying to get all my travel out of my system now. Yes. I have no responsibilities before I end up being at home, which is the plan at the moment.
We're going to talk about soil carbon projects very shortly. What's your view on soil carbon projects and what you know about those and how they might drive the future of the property? Something you're interested to learn about?
Yeah, I'm definitely interested to learn. My knowledge is very little at the moment, so I think coming to days like this is really good. But from a basic point of view, which is mine at the moment, I think just improving the soil and pasture improves your stock, which then has a positive effect on you as a person anyway. So that's what I'm getting so far.
Fantastic. Yeah. Let's go back to Dad. When did your soil carbon project journey start? How far into it are you?
Oh, look, the weird thing is we've been evolving for, I guess, since I've taken over maybe 15 to 18 years ago now, but we were looking at, obviously, regeneration, moving stock around and spelling country, and then in a roundabout way, you end up leading down this path where you see the improvements, but you know you can do it better, and what are the gains, and then it leads you down you realise if you're chasing soil health, then carbon is a massive part of that, and there's actually... Yeah, we're chasing production, and production leads you to this, and the better production leads you to more carbon. But then, yeah, there's financial benefits as well as production benefits, and that's what led to looking into a carbon project. And then 2 years ago, we got more serious after going to Wilmot, realising there's actually good financial gains if you get this right. And then, talking to Atlas and getting them to come on farm and actually suddenly realising they've done the analytics and said it's very doable and there's big gains to be had on your property, and you're going, okay, wow, we've got to follow this up, and then it's a natural progression.
Interestingly that it started with a desire to improve productivity, though. It's
only about productivity. So even I think this, even if you said you weren't going to make massive dollars out of it down the track, but I'm not going to say you become carbon neutral or carbon negative or anything like that, but it is, it's all about productivity anyway. But this is going to, if you can numerically measure your productivity, the gains are going to come off that, and it's substantial what can be done.
And that's what we're learning today. We're at a field day at Coventry, and a lot of the talk is around the data, yeah, and analysing the data and having the evidence there that it's something you can do.
It is, and the weird thing is if you don't measure, you don't know, and this is one way of measuring. So if we didn't even go past, I'm trying to think, the blueprint stage of where they come on your place, do a heap of soil testing and have a look around and see what you're doing and analyse that, and then realise that there's massive gains to be had, and they can see that because they can work off some measurements that they've got as a gauge. We learned so much in that day that you would have moved ahead without even chasing this up further. Yeah. But now we've got a company that's going to come on board with us and help you measure and keep the data and then analyse that data to help you move forward. The weird thing is you think you know heaps and then suddenly realise you know nothing.
So what are some of the things that you've learned? Is it around carrying capacity? Is it stocking rates?
It is honestly all of that. Like, we're learning very quickly how little we knew, and how we can improve that.
Yeah.
But even starting off a base and finding out what you're currently doing and where it could lead to, and it's all seasonal, obviously, but we're also learning that we don't want to go back in and go into a drought and think that we should be feeding things and turning everything into a moonscape and basically going backwards. We've seen that. We've done that. Everyone's done that, and they don't want to do it again. So, if we have to destock in the future in a tough time, which will come, it is Australia, but we can live with that because we know that we're not hurting the soil. We're actually gaining without doing anything. We're keeping what we've already got, as opposed to stripping all that good work away and starting again. Things like that, but that's in a bad time. In a good time, we're hoping we're replenishing in a big way and moving forwards, quite dramatically.
So any thinking around insetting and offsetting is too far away in the future at this point?
No, I don't think so, but this is the way of showing you what you're doing. But we don't do a lot of farming and things like that, so we're not, I guess, massive carbon users in that sense. Mm-hmm. So for us, the benefits are... Yeah, we should be carbon positive quite easily.
Yep.
And that's what we want to be anyway. Like, we're trying to get away from doing a lot of mechanical stuff.
Yep.
Because we can see, and people are doing it. You see it, and we're going to see it today as well, is how you let the animals be the machinery and the beating heart of what you do. But that's what we're trying to do, gain productivity.
And is there a premium for that product at the moment? You know, how does that equate to financial rewards for you on the farm?
Well, I guess you're doing more kilos, which equates to, you're getting paid by the kilo when you sell a product. So, yeah, if we can put more kilos off, then we've made more money. It's pretty simple, but Yeah, the soil ecology and looking after the soil is where we've gone back to, whereas years ago everyone would go, how many cows do you run?
Yeah.
That was all it came down to, and people had run their place into the ground just to say they had a massive amount of cows on there or something, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got to go back to basics and look after the soil. The soil grows the grass, we harvest the grass with stock. That's how simple it is.
Finally, and then I'll finish with Macy. What's in the future? What's the next 12 months look like for you from the soil carbon project?
Well, we're very early into the project. We're a month in and into it. So a lot of fencing, breaking up paddocks. We've been doing that over time, but now we can actually, we've worked out, we can go a lot smaller and more intense for longer resting days. So, yeah, we've got quite a bit of fencing to do, add a bit more water, and then try and perfect what we're doing way better than what we are now. So, yeah, probably some really big changes in the next 12 months to then try and get us going how we should be going for the next 5 years or so, and see where we're at with our next big measurements, which is in 5 years.
Just in time for when Macy returns from Canada.
That's right. We'll get as much fencing as we can before she goes to Canada as well.
Just your view, Macy, on the future of the farm and what Dad's doing now. Something you're buying into, something you're proud to see the changes
there? Yeah, I'm definitely proud. It's very very big, influential thing, I think, for me. And then it just motivates you to sustain, if not help improve, for future generations again after us.
What a great sort of ethos to live by. So thank you both for joining me on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
To learn more about how Atlas Carbon helps graziers investigate their soil carbon potential, visit the Atlas Carbon website. And to learn more about how Meyer Grazing helps livestock producers make great grazing decisions, visit the Meyer Grazing website.